The narrative of the healing of the demoniac, or a man with a demon or demons, is found in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it follows the story of Jesus sleeping in the stern of the boat when a great storm arises. The disciples, afraid that they're going to drown, wake Jesus up, after which he challenges them with these words, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And then he rebukes the winds and he calms the seas. The disciples are filled with great fear and say to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They have no idea that very soon the awesome power of Jesus' words would be demonstrated again for them, fulfilling these words of Psalm 65, verses 5 through 8. "By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength establishes the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy." Jesus and the disciples put in their boat on the shore to the country of the Gerasenes. Matthew in his gospel has the country of the Gadarenes, a city farther inland. Either way, it is a Gentile region and was comparatively wild and uninhabited, with lots of rolling hills opposite the side of the lake from Galilee. No sooner than Jesus and the disciples had stepped off the boat than they were confronted by a man who had demons. Matthew's gospel account has that they were met by two demon-possessed men, so fierce that no one could pass that way, while the other two gospels only speak of one man. Now, the commentaries that I read reconcile this apparent discrepancy between the gospels in that Luke and Mark only speak of the leader or the more violent of the two men. The man had apparently lived in the city previously, but now made his home among the tombs and wore no clothes. The man's name? Legion. Luke explains that this is because many, many demons lived in this man. A legion was a unit of Roman soldiers numbering anywhere from 4 to 6,000. Can you imagine the damage that thousands of demons were inflicting on this poor man? But while Jesus is outnumbered, he is definitely not outmatched. If you pay attention to the wording of the story, you'll find out very quickly who is in control of this battle. It's Jesus. The demons are begging Jesus not to obliterate them, but by sending them into the abyss, the eternal damnation. They don't beg people if you're in control. You beg them if you're being controlled, like a prisoner of war who begs their captors for leniency, or a criminal who begs the judge to reduce your sentence. They beg Jesus to go easy on them, to send them into a herd of swine, which Jesus does. And what happens? Luke records this. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned, from verse 33. They went down and they met their watery grave. But the story isn't over. Let's go back to the poor man. Where is he? He is freed. He is sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. This is the posture of a disciple. In Jewish culture, if you sit at someone's feet, it was to become a disciple of a rabbi. The man is ready to stick with Jesus. In fact, he begged that he might be with him. There's that language again, recognizing that Jesus is in control. But what does Jesus say? Return to your home and declare what God has done for you. In other words, share your story. The man wants to be a student, but Jesus calls him to be a storyteller. Go and tell those who saw your previous way of life how much I've done for you. Tell them the story of the hell that you went through. Tell them of the one who delivered you from the destroyer. This story that the three Gospels narrate is an epic story. It is the story of warfare. It is the struggle of the forces of evil in spiritual places. Ephesians 6:12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. John 10:10 says that the devil has come to kill and to destroy. Make no mistake, Satan and his minions have one goal and one goal only, to destroy. Think of what they have destroyed in this man. They have destroyed his dignity, naked and living amongst the tombs. They destroyed his relationships, separated from his community, living alone. And when the demons were cast out into the herd of pigs, what did they do? They destroyed them. And to this day, we see Satan's destructive forces at play in the lives of people, in our own lives, destroying marriages, destroying relationships, destroying livelihoods, destroying the lives of the unborn, destroying churches, destroying the mental health of individuals. It's one assault after another. Verse 29 says, "For many a time it, the evil spirit, has seized him." Many a time, one after another, to the point of exhaustion when we're ready to admit defeat. And still some might ask, are demons still roaming the earth today, looking for those to destroy? I believe the answer to that is yes. They may not always possess the body and soul of a person as visibly as in the story here in Luke 8. I think they have learned to be more subtle and so cause people significant distress and cause them to do destructive things. Just think about people who are caught up in drug abuse or alcohol addiction or sexual addiction. There can be little doubt that the devil takes advantage of these situations to do his work. We talk about those who are fighting their demons without ever realizing how true this may be. All we see is the wake of destruction that's left in the lives of these people. So what do? We cling to the gospel. The simple words of 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. We cling to Jesus, knowing that by his death and resurrection, he has destroyed Satan's power and will deliver us from the destruction that the devil desires to inflict upon us. We do this first by going back to our baptism. Sometimes this is lost in the modern baptismal rite. But years ago, baptism was seen as an exorcism. The Lutheran service book, Altar Book, includes an alternate form of baptism based on Martin Luther's baptismal rite. In it, the pastor says this, "Depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And speaking of baptism, notice what happened to the herd of pigs that the demons are cast into. They rush down the steep embankment and are drowned. And isn't this what baptism signifies? Martin Luther says it indicates that the old Adam in us, maybe we could say the demons in our lives, should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. From the Small Catechism, Baptism, Part 4. And so when we face our demons, we declare over them that we are baptized, that they now have no power over us. Secondly, we go back to the words of the Bible. We go to the clear words of God that proclaim Jesus' victorious death on the cross, the forgiveness of sins that it won, and the power of God over the attacks of Satan. 1 John 4:4 reminds us that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And then thirdly, as we continue to experience the deliverance of Jesus in our lives, we simply tell our story. Like the man who was once demon-possessed, who was told by Jesus to return to his home and declare how much God has done for him, we too have a story to tell. And that story begins at home. We start with those who know us well, and then tell them what Jesus has done for us. And then we tell everyone else the good news of Jesus Christ. But be prepared. Not everyone will take kindly to your story. The people of the surrounding country asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. The presence of the Son of the Most High God, as the demons describe Jesus, is met with faith by few, but fear by others. And the fear caused them to reject Jesus. They asked Jesus to leave, so Jesus chooses to depart from them and return to Galilee. People seem to think that there's always plenty of time to prepare for death and for believing in Jesus. But they don't know the hour of their life's end. Their time of grace may never come again. So share your story. Be an epic storyteller. You could possibly save a soul. Amen.